brother. All right, it sounds like they got me on. They also warned me how they can turn me off. So we're gonna try to stay on schedule tonight. How is everybody doing? Good. All right, well, I am going to be in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 1. I'll let you make your way there while I talk a little bit about the camp. And let me see if I can find the information here. It is always great to be back at Landmark Baptist Church. We have a number of friends here, and we appreciate all those that pray for us and continue to think about us there at the camp in good old Surrey County, Virginia. Can I ask you in here, who has been there? How many of you in here have been there? Perfect. All right. So you know your way back. That's great. All right. Well, there's a couple things I want to talk about. Our summer camp brochure is out, and not sure where Brother James and Landmark is planning to go to camp, but these brochures are available, and we're really excited about this year as we're going to be looking at Colossians 2, 6, and 7, talking about being built up in Christ. Have you noticed the young people in the world today? That's what I say. I was just talking to Mr. and Mrs. Ferguson over here, wherever they went. They may have left. There she is. I figured. She said, "You're preaching tonight?" And then they left. No. We were just out with their son, Jackson, at West Coast, and had a wonderful time there recruiting staff and had a wonderful time hanging out with Jackson. We always love to go out and take him out to a restaurant. And, you know, the school is great, but the cafeteria there is not. And so I knew that Jackson would enjoy a good meal that night. And so we always enjoy that. But you know, it's interesting, as we were leaving the airport there in L.A., and I decided to take the long way around instead of just shooting up, I guess, Route 5 to 144 or whatever it is. I went around the other way where it goes up by Santa Monica, I think. And so you can go right up the coast and you could get a nice view. It's real beautiful. You go up and you see the houses that folks have built bigger than they could ever live in, and you see the beautiful landscaping, and it's just a beautiful place to be. And as you're driving up this road, I'm pointing out to Carrie all these great things, and I look out on my right-hand side to look at Carrie, and on this side is railroad tracks and just tents of homeless people. And trash and garbage just up on the hillside. And then you see some of the folks, the young people, out and about. It burdens my heart. Now, I don't know their status. I don't know if they're saved or unsaved. We can judge people by the way they look, which is wrong. But I believe from what we see, most of our nation needs the gospel of Christ. I've been traveling the past few months a lot. We've been doing staff recruitment. I've preached in a number of places. I've got missions conferences coming up. And, you know, as I travel around, I'm convicted by the lack thereof of witnessing the way that the Bible tells me I should. Because we get so busy in our own lives that we just push forward in doing the things on our task list, the places we have to be, and we neglect our true calling as Christians. Anyway, all that's for free. That's not even part of the message. I want to share with you some of these rat cards. Our men's retreat is actually next Thursday. And so I sent out a big email blast today to try to get this registration filled up. And so, men, if you're in the room tonight, I would encourage you to go to the website and take a look at this. Brother Billy Ingram, who is, he's actually Dr. Billy Ingram. He's a pastor down in Cumming, Georgia. He's going to come up and be our speaker for that week. Phenomenal speaker. But we've done a lot of different things with the men's retreat this year. It's going to be a competitive competition men's retreat. We're doing everything from shooting competitions to driving range competitions to whatever you name, it will be a competition. And so we're looking forward to that. We've also stepped up the menu. We're going to have a meat feast on Thursday night, an Italian feast on Friday night. And it was funny. Those of you that have been to the camp, do you remember who Alan is, our head chef? So I gave Alan the menu, and he said, "So what kind of sides do you want with this meat fest thing?" I said, "Men don't eat sides. All meat. We want 10 different kinds of meat. Steak, shrimp, sausage, pork loin, barbecue. Put it all in a buffet." He said, "I wouldn't eat that. There ain't no green beans." I said, "Well, you can make you a side of green beans back in the kitchen if you'd like, but that's the buffet that we want." And so, and then this year we're giving away some prizes. I just went out yesterday to Bass Pro Shop and bought a shotgun that we're going to give away and a bunch of different things. So men, we want to encourage you, not just to encourage you to sign up, but we want to encourage you to maybe invite a coworker. Maybe invite someone in your family that could hear the gospel of Christ for the first time. That's who we want you to invite. And then our ladies' retreat is right after that, November 3rd through the 5th. I think we already have about 70 or 72 ladies signed up for this. And so, ladies, I know there's still room if you want to sign up for that. Also coming up is our senior adult conference. I've talked to a couple already. That's in February. That's on February the 4th. And that is a one-day conference where we bring in a team. This year is going to be the Raines family will be with us. We will still continue to make prime rib and all of those fixings for that. And so you can look at that on our website. And then all of our young people retreats are coming up, our college and career retreat. At the end of this year, December 30th, we're doing our teen all-nighter again. We survived last year. Everyone loved it, and we're going to do it again. And so we're looking forward to that. And then January 20th and 21st, we have what we're calling Refuge Youth Revival. It'll be a Friday and a Saturday youth revival. We're bringing in three special speakers, and so there'll be a lot of preaching and a lot of focus on revival for these young people today, and so be looking for that as well. There's a lot of information on our website. Our ministry is growing. I think many of you know we have 12 full-time staff members right now. We just hired number 13 who will be joining our team once he graduates in May from PCC. We're also looking for two more young ladies to join our team because the office work is getting almost unbearable for the two ladies that are in there. And so we're looking at what God will do to allow us to expand that. As we grow, we are creating new retreats, new conferences. Just this week alone, I developed three new conferences or retreats for next year. We're planning to do a pastor, youth pastor, church ministry planning retreat in the spring. The Calvary Quartet, does anybody know the Calvary Quartet? Does everybody know the Calvary Quartet? Okay, we've partnered with Terry Snow, and we're going to be doing a choir music lead retreat. And then preferably by this December, we're so close to getting it ready, we're going to do a hunting retreat there at the camp in December for men who like to hunt. And so there's a number of things that we're opening the door for, and it's always fun, and it's always great to hear about the program-related things, but I hope you guys know and trust in our heart it is to share and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we bring people there. Last year we had a dorm project. I think I was here and promoted that. The girls' dorm was hideous. The cabinets were falling down. When you open a cabinet door, it might fall off in your hand, and the girls would just put it back up there like it was nothing wrong with it. There was just bad plumbing, bad water heaters. Sometimes the lights would turn on, sometimes they wouldn't. And the floor was painted this green that somebody donated. It's a concrete floor, and somebody just painted it whatever color green they could get for free. I felt so bad for our girls because our boys, as you know, sleep on the other side of camp in a brand new two-story log cabin. And so the girls are showing up for camp and we're having to put them in this thing, and I always felt bad. And so last year we were able, through donors and sponsors and many of you guys that have prayed for that, to finish that building, and now the dorm building is the nicest building on the entire camp. All of the bathrooms were remodeled. Everything is ceramic tile. We built in a kitchenette. We built in a meeting space. New shower, new everything. It is wonderful. And it's all LED lighting. And we have already seen the electric bill cut in half just by doing that. And so we're thankful for that. This year, if you go to our website, we have a Project 2022. This is what I would ask prayer for. This is our meeting space where we hold all of our services. And that space, we outgrew it. Last year, the fourth week of summer camp, our teen week, we had folks standing in the back because there was no more room and no more seating. And so we're looking at remodeling this room. There's a kitchenette in there that we need to tear out. We have another space to put the kitchen in, and it'll open up the space where it will hold 60 more seats. And then also with that, there is some functional things. Some of the floor joists need to be replaced, like on the ends, and so it's kind of soft. And so we're praying about getting all that done. And so if you want to consider praying about that, that's our project that we're praying to get done by December of this year, because that is the only time that building is not in use. All right? And so that's where we are with the camp. Did everybody find the book of Nehemiah? If not, go to Ezra and make a hard right-hand turn. We there? All right. So this, I've preached this week already, and I've spent more time studying it. And God has just spoke to my heart throughout this in many ways. I titled this message, A Look Into the Heart. Because as we consider our heart, and then we consider our lives as Christians, how are we living? Let's start with this. Let's just pick verse 10 as our key verse. Now these are thy servants, here in Nehemiah chapter 1. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can come together and study your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help each one of us as we dive into your word, Lord, to have open hearts. I pray, Father, that you fill me with the words to preach. I pray, Lord, that I would get food for my own soul. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would take this knowledge and not just hold it in, Lord, but to pass it on, share it with others. Lord, we thank you and we love you. I thank you, Lord, for that gift of salvation. I thank you for the blood shed on the cross for my sins. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy that you bestow upon all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A look into the heart. Now, I only have four little short points. I told the guys when I got here that it was only 4 points, but I preached it last week and it was 50 minutes. And so we're going to back it up a little bit and try to go really, really fast, all right? Look here, beginning in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Now, think about this. Nehemiah is here in Shushan in the palace. Can I ask you by a show of hands tonight, how many of you would love to be in a palace tonight? Be honest, you're in church. Some of these veterans here are like, nope, I don't want more to repair. I don't want more to clean. I don't want more to walk around. But just imagine Nehemiah for just a moment. He's here in the palace. Many of you know this story. You know his job. But let's dive into it. That Hananiah, verse 2, one of my brethren came, he and a certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Think about where Nehemiah is for just a moment. He's in the palace. We know he's the cupbearer for the king. He's set up. He has a wonderful place to live. He has a wonderful job. He has everything that he needs. These men come, Hananiah here could be believed to be his real brother, came to give him news about the remnant, those that were left. Folks, today as Christians in this world, you know we are a remnant. We are to be used by God each and every moment of the day. God wants to use each one of us to reach the lost around us. And you see here, during this time, Nehemiah was sitting good, and these men came by just to give him information on that remnant, those folks that were left. Nehemiah at this point could have said, no, I don't want to hear this. I have a great life. I have a job. I don't want to be interrupted by these things. But that's not what happened. My first point here tonight is he had a heart for others. Nehemiah had a heart for others. And you say, well, how do you get that? Look at verse 2. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity. Nehemiah asked about the people. Nehemiah had a heart for the people. He asked about the people, and then he asked about the city. This remnant, his concern was first for the people and then the city. During this time of great affliction, you see the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. They've been broken down for about 142 years. The temple was built, the altar was built. This is back in Ezra. We can go back and look at that. Back in Ezra's time, Ezra was allowed to go back, and the Israelites built the temple, and then Ezra went in to bring them back to the Lord. But these walls were still broken down. And Nehemiah had a heart for these people. You know, as I study this and I look at this, I'm challenged and convicted about my own heart. I can stand up here and tell you about all the crazy people I've seen in California. I can tell you about all the crazy people I just saw in Georgia. I can tell you about the crazy people I passed coming up here tonight. But in all honesty, maybe those people aren't crazy. Maybe they're lost. I should have a heart for every person. God loves everyone. God died on the cross for everyone. He's no respecter of persons. How can I, as a Christian, how can I, as a preacher, how can I be as a person in full-time ministry, begin to judge anything? I can't. I don't have a right to. Nehemiah here reminds us that he had a heart for others. If we were in a place where Nehemiah was, where we had our palace, we left here tonight and we get to go home to our palace. And let's just say, because some of you folks were the first one that looked at me and said, I don't want a palace. But let's just say you got people there working it. You don't have to do anything but walk in. So let's just say we leave here tonight and we go to our palace. The lifestyle of the palace. And you know what's great? God said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. What's that palace going to look like? Wow. When I meet Jesus face to face, when I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus at the end of my life, am I going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Let me take you to your palace. Folks, I'm convicted by the fact that Nehemiah had a heart for others. His immediate response is, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity. Look at verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, they're in the providence, are in great affliction and reproach. These people were in great affliction. Verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and what? What did he do? He wept. When I heard these words, I wept and I mourned certain days. And not only that, fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Nehemiah wept and mourned before the God of heaven. Nehemiah knew who he needed to reach out to. How often do we weep and mourn for those around us? How often do we weep and mourn, praying on our knees for God to change our nation, instead of what I tend to do is fuss at Fox News? Why are those people in charge? What are they thinking? I'm going to run for office. When I should be on my knees weeping and mourning to the Lord who can make the change. Nehemiah had a heart for the people. He knew who he needed to go to. He wept and mourned. He prayed. He fasted to the God Almighty, the one and only who could do something. These men come to Nehemiah in the time of he was just there at the palace. It's kind of like you and I out in the front yard mowing our lawn, minding our own business, not looking for visitors. We're in our, this is us men. We love to get on the mower and nobody interrupt us. This is our world, okay? I love mowing at the camp because I know when I get on the mower, I won't be done until the mower runs out of gas. Because there's hours of mowing. And when I'm on that mower, I don't want any interruptions. Silly illustration, but you get what I mean? Nehemiah's in the palace with a great opportunity, with a great job, and these men come to him to share what is going on in Jerusalem. Not only did Nehemiah have a heart for others, my second point is he had a heart for God. Verses 4 and down gives us Nehemiah's prayer. Look at verse 5. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He said, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah had a heart for God. He fasted and he prayed, brought him to Set. Nehemiah knew who could help. He knew God could help. He went to the only source of help, the only source of power. Oftentimes we depend on ourselves in life a lot, don't we? I mean, I do. And maybe I'm the only one in here that does. I depend on myself a lot. Something breaks, let me get in there and fix it. Something's messed up, let me figure out how it works. The camp starts running out of money, well, let me go and work the calculator 14 ways. Personal finances get into a hard place, let me go figure it out. Sell everything I own, start over. We try to fix things ourselves a lot. We need to just go to the source who can help. The source who has the power. Nehemiah had a heart for God. He prayed a fervent, personal prayer. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that God hears our prayers? Lord, help us tonight. God hears our prayers. God wants to hear our voice. There's five portions of this prayer here. I jotted them down. The opening address in verse 5. You know this opening address here in verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. It's almost word for word as Daniel 9, Daniel's prayer. Daniel knew who had the power. Secondly, the humble approach. Verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. This humble approach. God has the title of the Almighty. We must humble ourselves when we go to the throne of God. Nehemiah knew to be humble. Third, the confession of sins. This can be a tough one sometimes. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Lord, forgive us for our sins today. Lord, forgive us for the things that we've said. Lord, forgive us for the things that we've done. Lord, forgive me for the thoughts in my mind, for the anger, for no reason. Confession of sins. Four, the appeal to the divine promise. Here it speaks of Moses' promise in verses 8 through 10. And we'll get to those. And then five, the people and Nehemiah as their representative at the royal court in verse 11. There were five portions of this prayer that Nehemiah prayed. He says, grant him mercy in verse 11. To have favor with him. Because he was the cupbearer. Let's look at those beginning here in verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's bearer. To have favor with him. He wanted favor with the king. Why do you think that? What was his job? He's a cupbearer. I jokingly said last week as I was studying this, and Chris is our second head chef that we hired. He came in my office. And I was sharing this with him as a little mini devotion. And I said, you know, if I was the king and Nehemiah came into my office sad, as you'll see here in a moment, I'd be a little afraid. If Chris, my chef, came into my office crying, telling me lunch was ready in the dining hall, I'm not going. Would you? You're brave. Not only did he have a heart for others, he had a heart for God. But let's look at this. Number three, he had a heart of determination. The reason I said he had a heart of determination is, look here in chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. I said Nehemiah was determined because he went through with it. He had a heart for the people. He had a heart for God. Nehemiah has in his mind to go and repair those walls to help that remnant of people. And as a cupbearer, you come to the king with a sad face. Not a good idea. We know here it's about dinner time is when he came to bring the wine here. And you know what's interesting is this month, Nisan, okay, if you look back in verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislu, somewhere around November, December, and then Nisan around April. 3 to 4 months before Nehemiah went to the king after the men told him the situation. It's amazing, maybe the king wasn't around or something, but how does the cupbearer not be in front of the king for 3 to 4 months? It's an interesting study. I'll let you do that. He had a heart of determination. He was determined. He knew that the calling on his life from God, that he needed to go to the king. And verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Even facing opposition, as you study through chapters 4 through 6, Nehemiah was still determined to push forward, to still help the people, to get the job done, to rebuild the walls, to fix the walls. When I think about this in my life, what am I determined for? What determination do I have in my heart? I remember when God burdened my heart to start a Christian camp. I was working. I was a program manager, enjoying my job. I had the palace, the boat, the RV, had it all. And I remember when the Lord burdened my heart to shut down what I was doing and go start a camp. And I remember initially thinking, yeah, I don't want to do that. I have to work with kids, teenagers. They're a challenge, do you know? You set rules, you put counselors in charge of them, the counselors over here, the teens are in the trees. It's a whole new world for me. But when I knew that God was truly burdening my heart to do that, I became determined. I wanted to do it. I wanted to give it my all. Nehemiah here is wanting to give it his all. And if you remember, Nehemiah has a heart for others. And he has a heart for God because he knows the source to go to. And he's determined to help people. Are we determined tonight, folks, to help people? There are so many needs around us. There are so many people that are hurting. So many people in financial crisis. So many people in mental crisis. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know where they want to go. They don't know how to get the resource. I had a meeting with our county just a few months ago. They wanted to meet with me because they asked me why I wasn't hiring locals out of the county. You see, every one of our employees came from everywhere, other states, Northern Virginia. We have 2 people in our county that work for us. I said, sure, I'd be happy to come and talk with you. I'd love to figure out why I'm not hiring people in our county. So I met there with 5 other businesses there in the county, and they all had the same statement and comment that I had. People don't want to work. We have application after application after application after application on file of people we've hired who never showed up on the first day of work. It is amazing, because I know one thing, if I'd have done that, my mom would have killed me. She'd have done more than bent me over backwards. She'd have broke me in half and sent me to that job in two pieces. People are hurting. They're broken. And those of us that live a life filled with the Spirit, that love the Lord, God wants to help us reach those people. God wants to reach those people, and He wants us to be a part of that. Maybe someone in here tonight is hurting. Maybe there's someone that says, I'm having a difficult time. I just can't find my way out. I keep doing circles. God loves you. Nehemiah had a heart for people. He had a heart for God. He was determined. He was determined the calling that God had placed on him was giving him direction. Do you have a calling on your heart tonight that the Lord has burdened you with? Are you determined to follow through? Number four, he had a heart of gratefulness. And you say, well, how do you get that? Well, we got to go over to chapter 6. I wrote down he had a heart of gratefulness because as you read verses 15 and 16, this is what it says. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. You know why I believe Nehemiah had a heart of gratefulness? Because he witnessed God at work. The walls were finished. He witnessed God at work. Can I ask you tonight, have you witnessed God at work in your life? Amen. Have you witnessed God work in your life? Can you imagine, can you go back to that day when you first placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You remember that moment? I remember that moment. I was fired up. I was a little 12-year-old boy. I was fired up. I knew I didn't have to worry about fire. I knew I didn't have to worry about being separated from God. I knew that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that His blood was shed for my sins. And not only mine, but yours. And the fact that He lived His life here in this world, did ministry, died a horrible death on the cross, was buried. But I also believe this inspired Word of God where it says, He was raised. And you know what? Today, no matter what the problems I may face, no matter the difficulties that we may face in this world, no matter who's in charge in Congress, no matter who's in charge at the White House, it doesn't matter because God is on the throne. And Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for you and me. No matter what mistakes I make in life, God has forgiven me for my sins. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my salvation. I will spend eternity in heaven. How long is eternity? I don't know. Long time. But God didn't just save my soul and leave me here to look good, because I don't look good. There's more purpose to it. And that purpose is to share the good news to those around me. We purchase 10,000s of camp tracts and we hand them out everywhere we go. Camp tracts are easy to hand out everywhere you go because it's a camp. I've learned it's hard for me to hand out Calvary Baptist Church tracts in California. I'm like, oh, where's this church? Way over there. But just a nice gesture. Leave a good tip. Leave a camp tract. Speak to the person that's serving you. Sometimes they're grumpy, but it just takes a little talking and they come out of that pretty quickly. I don't want to do circles and I don't want to talk circles, but I do want to challenge you tonight. Do you have a heart for others? There's a lot in this study of Nehemiah. These are just four little points that the Lord spoke to my heart about pulling out. There is so much that goes on here as you put this book together with Hosea and Ezra, and you start to look at how all these things played out, and you see how God used these kings and these places and these times to put things back together. We would be here for a long time tonight if we preached this entire subject. But these four little points really stood out to me in my life, and I hope and pray tonight that they'll stand out to you. Do you have a heart for others? In the life that you live today, when you get up tomorrow morning and go to the first place you go, whether it's work or whether it's school or whether it's just to shop, are you looking at others with a heart of love for them? And sometimes I tend to look at others as a hindrance. Or, you're in my way because you drive down Route 10 too slow. I need to have a heart for others. Not only, before I can even have a heart for others, I must have a heart for God. My focus needs to be in the right place. Every day, all day. And that's at the Lord Jesus Christ. I must have a heart for God. Once I have a heart for God and have a heart for others, then I believe we should all have a heart of determination. And that's to do what God has called and placed on your heart to do. And maybe you're in here tonight and you say, well, I don't know what God's calling me to do yet. That's great. Hey, I didn't start building a camp until I was 40 years old. But one thing we do know God has burdened our heart and the calling that we have on our heart is to go ye therefore and teach all nations. We are to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What God calls you to do outside of that, wonderful. And then could I say tonight, have a heart of gratefulness. Sometimes we take things in life for granted. Do you believe that? My wife is the most wonderful wife I was going to say that I've ever had, but she's the only one I've ever had. She's the most wonderful woman I've ever met. And let me give you an example why. And it's probably because she's more of an OCD clean freak than anything, but this suit I'm wearing will be cleaned and put away in the morning. I'm not even kidding you. I can wear something tonight. It'll be cleaned and hung up and ready to go tomorrow. She cannot have anything laying around. Ever. And so when I go on my trips, when I get home from West Coast on Friday and I'm leaving Saturday morning for Georgia for a week, guess what? My whole suitcase was cleaned, repacked, and ready to go out the door Saturday morning. Maybe we should strive to live like that toward others. What can we do to help others? What can we do to be a blessing to those around us? I'm so grateful for my wife. I have a heart of gratefulness toward her. But that gratefulness don't match the gratefulness I have for my Lord Jesus Christ. Because God has given me the best gift ever known. Ever known. So how can I take things in this life for granted, knowing that God has given everything? Can I challenge you tonight? We're going to close in prayer right now. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll leave time for prayer. I want to challenge each one of us tonight. Do you truly, could you raise your hand tonight before the Lord and say, I truly have a heart for others. I truly have a heart for God. I truly have a heart of gratefulness. Is that you tonight? Do you have a heart for others? Do you have a heart for God? Are you grateful? And would you say tonight, Lord, that is me, and I want to have a heart of determination. I want to have a heart of determination. Lord, I want to be used by you moving forward from this day. As we close tonight, you can pray there right in your seat. I believe the pianist is going to play. If you need to come forward to the altar, give it all to God. God can help us have a heart for others. God can help us have a heart for Him. God can help us have a heart of determination. And God can help us have a heart of gratefulness. Is that you tonight, Father? As we come to you tonight, as we take these next few moments, pour our heart out to you. Lord, would you show us any way in our lives that's hindering our growth with you? Father, I specifically pray tonight that you forgive me. I need more of a heart for others. Lord, help me to keep a consistent heart for you. Help us all, Lord, to be determined. And Father, help us to be grateful. As we pray tonight, Lord, would you lead and guide?
Let's sing that song one more time. You alone are holy. You alone are God. You alone are worthy to receive our praise. You alone are God. You alone are Lord. You alone are holy, Lord of all. You are God. We'll stop right there.
To still have our time of prayer this evening, as we do, phrase that stuck out to me from Brother Carsley that he said a couple times there, he's the source to go to. He's the source to go to before we go to others. And he's the source to go to for hope, for peace, for truth, for blessing, for strength. And so we go to him tonight in prayer. A few prayer requests to mention, both from the website and some updates on things. Pray for Glenn Gooding. He is having an outpatient procedure coming up next week, so be in prayer for him. Pray for Sister Chani Grant and her family in the passing of her brother as they grieve. Pray for Bill Horst, which is Linda's brother, as he's recovering from surgery. And then Doris Riley, as well as having some various health issues, has an appointment with the doctor coming up, I believe tomorrow on the 20th, to check on her blood pressure and some thyroid problems that they may be looking at there as well. And then a reminder and a prayer request, we have a book in not a book, we have a box in the foyer for our college students. So if you have care package items that you can bring to them, clean socks, or better yet, food, you can drop that off in that box for them and be in prayer for them. They've got busy things coming up before long. They'll be hitting midterms shortly, and that gets really busy and stressful. And then as they finish the semester, they'll have their finals and things coming up as well. And then just pray for the ministries of our church, for our congregation, for our outreach. We'll go ahead and pray together as families, and then if I can have Brother Noah DePasquale, if you'll close us out this evening in just a few minutes.